Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome to Fellowship Talks today. It is so good to have you with us. We are your hosts, Dan Schaefer, and I have my partner in podcast war, podcast battle, my co-host,
Amy Scrivanos.
Amy, it's good to be here today, isn't it?
It is great to be here today.
We're recording our second recording here during Dwell. It's lunchtime at Dwell. It's right before Bob Goff goes on stage, and we've had a really good time this morning, even as people dwelled in Scripture and people dwelled in worship and learned more about that. And for all of you who are regular listeners, you know that the last episode that you heard last week was really special. As we sat down with Bob Goff, had the opportunity to talk to him.
Yeah, that's right. And it's Saturday afternoon at the Dwell Conference, and we've just heard another message from another special guest, Glenn Packiam. And so here's what some of our Dwell guests had to say after attending Dwell this morning.
I think that he just stands out over all other religions, and that he is the one true living God, and that he gets to dwell inside of me, and I just get to have this intimate love with him, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I've just learned how important it is to not forsake the assembly and us to hang out together as people, and when we do that, God's powerful presence is with us, and to be careful that we don't ever try to privatize our faith and our experience with him, and there's just a special, unique power that happens when we gather together as his people.
That he is loving and caring and won't care whatever we do, he still loves us.
Well, that he is amazing and he's graceful and he's merciful.
I've learned that I can celebrate him by dancing, which I like to dance, and praise him with my whole self.
He is ever present. He wants to come dwell with us.
He's super creative in bringing his people together.
I was lying to myself about my relationship with God, and I've come into this new light, and just knowing that his mercy will always be poured out on me has been huge for me right now.
That we're a family, and it's us coming together that allows us to dwell with God, and there's just no better feeling being here today.
He is here no matter what. Like, I don't have to be in a church building, but I can just be with my family of families, and he is here. And that is beyond comprehensible, but it is such a blessing.
I loved Shelby's presentation on reconciliation. I think that he is exactly right that laws can definitely help things, legislation can help things, but it's pursuing the Lord and his heart for all people, and how that can make a difference in our city.
That he really wants us to worship him in all kind of different ways. I just love the last message about all the different ways of worshiping him and giving thanks his worship, and just that thinking about all getting to heaven with these people. It was just wonderful.
The Lord has been like teaching me like really how to stay in the scripture, you know, and dwelling with him, and like try to like figure out what my identity is, like where I was in the past, and then by his grace, like who I become like right now.
My identity changes with him, and that when I identify myself with him, I'm stronger.
Well, I have learned that he is completely amazing and that he can do awesome stuff.
One thing I've learned about God here is just the incredible importance of each and every member of the household of God and how we need each other. It's been great.
All right, so Glenn is the pastor of a church called New Life Downtown in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and we're so grateful that Glenn has taken some time out of his busy schedule to not only be a part of Dwell, but to also spend a few minutes with us here in the studio.
Yeah, Glenn Packiam, good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Dan. Yeah. Amy, thank you so much.
Thanks for being a part of Fellowship Talks today. So I learned some really interesting information about you last night.
Oh.
Yeah, Aaron Keyes told us that you graduated from high school.
This is true.
Congratulations.
This is true. Well,
congratulations.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So tell us some other interesting things about you and your family.
I grew up in Malaysia. It's where I'm from. And when I was 10 years old, our family moved from Malaysia to America. My parents went to a Bible college in Portland, Oregon, and we lived there for 3 years, and then we moved back to Malaysia. I finished out my high school years there. I did graduate from high school. And then I moved back to the States. on my own to go to college, and then I met my wife there. We got married, and you know, been here ever since. Working at a church in Colorado Springs called New Life Church, and New Life Downtown is one of the six congregations of New Life Church.
Yeah, how long have you been at New Life?
You know, it'll be 18 years this summer, which is crazy. And I've had different roles, you know, primarily in worship ministry for the first 8 or 9 years, and then kind of in a teaching pastoral, lead pastoral role the last 9 or so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Glenn, one thing I learned about you, and you just said this, is that you're a musician.
Yeah.
And in fact, you wrote the song Your Name. Your Name.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of our listeners know that song. I'd sing it for everybody, but they probably would never listen again. but I love that song.
Give it a try.
So do you still write songs today?
Every now and again. I think I do it now mostly just as a devotional practice, mm-hmm. you know. When I stopped leading worship actively, it was harder to write songs because there was not a place to sort of test them out. But I really do enjoy writing, and it's something I've wanted to kind of dive back into recently.
What do you mean as a devotional practice? Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, I think for me, it takes me back to kind of my childhood faith, sitting down at the piano and singing my heart out to the Lord. And long before it was ever there were ever any publishing deals or albums or anything like that, it was just part of loving the Lord, just part of, mm-hmm. You know, I remember in high school I would spend some time reading the Bible, and then I'd go over to the piano and sing my prayers to the Lord, you know. And so there's a sense for me that I kind of want to return to that as a practice because there's a purity there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to respond to him in worship.
Yeah.
So you talked about worship today as we walk through Ephesians a little bit, mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 5. And what would you say to the person listening to the podcast that really struggles with singing?
Yeah.
They're a believer, but singing's not their natural
bent. Listen, I think one of the points I was trying to make today is that when Ephesians talks about us being this temple that God is fitting together, there's a corporate, a communal dimension to that. And so the gathered church, what the church does when we gather together, is significant for many reasons, but not least of which, it's significant because that's how God makes his presence particularly known to us. And so one of the things mentioned in Ephesians 5 is making music, is singing, but so is speaking to one another, and so is giving thanks, and so is, you know, submitting to one another, the relationships. And so really, I mean, you wouldn't want to necessarily overplay this, but I think Paul is kind of introducing us to at least 4 practices that we do together as the church that make us particularly aware of God's presence.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So during the session today, you highlighted 4 practices mm-hmm. that we can do to invite God into dwelling with us. I think that's how you said it, right?
Yeah. So if you think about it, so in Ephesians 2, you know, later in the chapter, Paul says, you know, God is fitting you together as his household, as a temple in which he will dwell by the Spirit.
That's right.
And then the next time he talks about the Spirit is in Ephesians 5. Of course, there's no chapter markings back then, right? So it's just sort of, picks up the thought later.
It's one letter.
Yeah, one letter, exactly. And so in Ephesians 5, he starts saying, look, instead of being drunk, you need to be filled up with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And the verb there, you know, it's kind of this imperative. It's like this command, but it's also has a sense of an ongoingness to it, you know, and I think that's important because, again, the Spirit's not an it where you either have it or you don't. The Spirit's a person. So, yes, we welcome this person, the third person of the Trinity, but relationships with people are dynamic. So there's an ongoing dynamic aspect of this. And so he then, the next few verbs are all participles. And so one of the translations puts it this way. It says, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways. Mm-hmm. So these are ways that we... to use dwell language, these are ways in which God dwells in his temple by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so, those 4 practices, you know, are a shorthand way of saying it is speaking the word of Christ, singing to the Lord, and then giving thanks, I think could be a reference to Eucharist as in the table of the Lord, the Lord's table. That word there is Eucharistio. It could just mean generally giving thanks, but they might have had a particular thing in mind. No, the giving thanks, the great thanksgiving. And then the last one, submitting to one another, talks about relationships, fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Dan and I both work in our small groups ministry here. Yeah. So we call them D groups or discipleship groups here. Mm. And so I think particularly that last point of fellowship mm-hmm. with one another and the importance of, you really hit well on, we don't necessarily get to choose who's yeah. at the table with right. there. And that's something that we've really spent a lot of time talking about this mm-hmm. year. So can you talk a little bit about kind of what that looks like when we are fellowshipping together mm-hmm. in that time, and how that is a way that, that our fellowship helps us to dwell with God?
Yeah. In our day, Amy, you know, we think about the things that our kids are involved in and all of this stuff for us, you know, in Colorado, all the activities, and I'm sure it's the same here. Everything is trying to be its own sort of society. You know, they want to have a relational aspect, and that's all great. There's nothing wrong with that. But we might be tempted to think that church is just another one of those things. And so, mm-hmm. oh, you could have a neighborhood potluck, or you could be in a church small group. And I think what the New Testament is trying to show us is that there's something special about the fellowship of the saints, that mm-hmm. this is a unique thing. And so actually, all of Ephesians 4 is Paul talking about this unique way that we relate to one another because of Jesus. And he ends Ephesians 4 by saying, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. So I think it's important for Christians to recognize that there is a kind of fellowship that is uniquely shaped by the way Christ has loved us. And so we might reflect on that more. Okay, what does that mm-hmm. mean? Well, it means forgiveness, and it means kindness. It means tenderhearted. It means sacrificial love, the way the cross is. So if we're not in those kinds of relationships where the life of God is passing back and forth between us, so to speak, you know, then that's not the real community that the New Testament's talking mm-hmm. about.
So these practices, as you've seen them live out in your life, one of the values that we hold here at Fellowship is transformation, mm-hmm. becoming like Jesus in attitude and action. Mm-hmm. So how have you seen here recently these actions, these practices transforming your own heart?
Well, I mean, I can think of so many moments where I was, you know, experiencing maybe, you know, discouragement or something else, wrestling with something, and then coming to the church. And just the other night, you know, we do every month we do a night of just worship and prayer, and there's not much else structured, but just we're going to sing and we're going to pray. And it almost seems like every time I go, I'm so tired and so like, oh my goodness, Lord, do I really want to be at another thing, you know? Mm. And then I leave and I think, what I was just at was not like anything else. Mm. Like, I leave feeling like I've met the Lord. I've been encouraged by brothers and sisters here. I've gotten to pray with people. Someone prayed for me and gave me a word, whatever, you know? And I think it's worth remembering that these things, you may not see dramatic or instantaneous fruit, but over the long term, they deepen our roots. You know, maybe it's like the Psalm 1 thing. You know, you're planted by the stream. These are practices that help us to locate the life-giving stream of God's presence.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So you touched on the lost sheep, mm-hmm. right, today, mm-hmm. and the lost coin,
and the brothers, yeah,
and the prodigal son, and the other brother that right, was right, there that right. really was probably more prodigal, in his heart. And that's a theme that we've hit on as a church. Our church is familiar with a phrase that we have, going after the one, going after that lost one, and bringing them into fellowship with us, bringing them into relationship with us so they can meet personally Jesus as we spend time with them. And you said something that I'd like you to re-quote that by Eugene Peterson during his talk.
You know, so one of the things that happens to us as Americans is we want to meet with God, but we want to meet with God by ourselves or with the people that we like or the people that we choose. Right. So several years ago, I had the opportunity to spend a couple days with Eugene and Jan Peterson, his wife, and in their home, and we were talking about church. You know, he's written some great books about pastoral ministry, and I said, Eugene, you know, some of what you are writing about the church being too commercialized and all that, the people that are resonating with it are responding by saying, okay, yeah, we'll just create our own house church movement. And again, there's some very healthy versions of the house church movement, some very missional versions of it. But there are also versions of it that tend to just be insular. You know, it's just about us four and no more. And so I asked him about that. I said, what would you say to that? And he said, you know, at least two of the things that make a church are, one, that it's connected to the apostolic faith. There's something about the New Testament faith that is present in this community. But secondly, that there's room for people that you wouldn't have chosen. And that just stuck with me because it's easy to have church with the people that you would choose. And we all do it when we're finding a church. We look for the people that kind of feel like our tribe. And there's a certain degree of that that is understandable. But there's another sense in which, what if God is fitting us together with people that we might not have chosen? Mm-hmm. And are we willing to do that? And so the story of the prodigal son, you know, you alluded to this, the ratios of those stories, of the ratios of lostness increase, you know, it's 1 out of 100 sheep, 1 out of 10 coins, so 1%, then 10%. Then it seems like 1 out of 2 brothers, 1 out of 2 sons, 50%. But then actually, by the time you get to the end of the story, the older brother has left the house too, and he leaves the party. And so it's Jesus' way of saying, actually, we're all lost. You've all left the Father's house. You've all left the feast of the Father's love. And the only way to get back into the feast is to also welcome the family, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the older brother refers to his younger brother saying, this son of yours. Mm-hmm. And the father says, no, 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 this brother of yours. And I think that's the heart of the Father, is to keep saying to us, I'm glad you want the feast, but you got to also welcome the family. Mm.
So what does that look like for you, being in community or fellowship with people that you wouldn't have picked yourself? For you personally, what does that look like?
I think it's being willing to serve the people that are at our church, whether or not there's no target demographic. Sometimes people will say, who are you hoping for? We're like, whosoever the Lord draws, you know? Mm. And it does, just practically, even from a pastoral standpoint, to think about what the barriers might be for others who are not there, and to say, wait a minute, do we only say examples that these people might relate to, or not this person? Mm. And we have, because we're downtown, once in a while we'll have folks come in that are in transition with their housing, you know, and there's a guy who comes pretty consistently, and he's pretty loud, and sometimes he comes in and he's not sober that morning, you know. And so people have said, why can't we just escort him out? You know, he's always just saying hallelujah and amen really loudly, you know. And we're saying, no. No, we want that guy here. Mm-hmm. Where else do you want him on a Sunday morning? We want him here, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then for our own personal lives, I think my wife and I were conscious to try to say, there are people, there are relationships we want to be intentional about, but then let's leave some room on the margins for the unexpected, for the interruptions. How many times was Jesus interrupted on the way to something? And he allowed that. And if we don't allow that, if we overschedule our lives, we've got no room for the people the Lord might just drop in to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's really good. So as you're traveling and speaking at different churches, what are you seeing God doing through the church?
You know, that's an interesting question. And maybe people who you know, would have different answers. From my perspective, I think there's a convergence happening. It's almost like a couple of rivers have now sort of flooded together into a giant delta, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love that. I mean, I think there's the people who, you know, have such a heart for the lost, maybe at one time was like the seeker-sensitive thing, but then you've got this this other stream of, no, let's encounter God's presence when we gather together. Okay, that's great. And then there's another group that says, no, 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 it's all about discipleship and spiritual formation. Like, that's great. What I'm finding is actually the churches are being nourished by all three of these streams, the mission, the encounter, the formation. Mm-hmm. And those are just my words for it, but I think there really is a convergence of those things, and it's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
great.
So we're here at Dwell this weekend. For you, what does it mean to dwell with God?
It's such a rich question, and I think there's a personal aspect of this where for me, I have to create space in my life. I have to create rhythms and practices. I've learned that dwelling with God, it's relational, and so because of that, you know, you can say, oh, it's organic. At the same time, anything organic, it doesn't grow on accident, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, gardening or a relationship, you've got to cultivate it. Mm-hmm. And so dwelling with God for me is about learning how to best cultivate that. So my wife and I will take, every 6 months, we'll take an inventory of our lives, of our rhythms, of our practices. Some people call it a rule of life. It's really like a rhythm of life. And we'll take stock of our work life, our relational relationships, our prayer life, and our rest rhythms, and to say, well, are we intentionally building in some practices and rhythms? Not in a rigid way. I mean, we're not very, like, you know, hyper-structured. Yet you have to have some kind of intentionality to it.
Yeah. So, Amy, we started the podcast by giving opportunity for people here at the conference to share one thing they've learned about God here this weekend. And, Glenn, I want to finish by asking you that same question. You sat through Dwell Conference with us on Friday night. Mm-hmm. You've been here with us this morning. You spoke here this morning. Mm-hmm. What's one thing that you feel like you've learned more about God through your experience here at Dwell?
the tenderness of the Lord. I mean, I really sensed that last night when Aaron Keyes was talking about the name and the lies and just how we never outgrow our need for that, the good shepherd, you know, the tenderness of the Lord. And so that's what I'm going to carry home with me.
That's good. Well, thank you for being here at Dwell with us. We've really appreciated having you here and welcoming you into a fellowship and just being a part of our body for this weekend. Thank you, Glenn, for being here.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Amy.
Yes, yes. And for our listeners, I just want to say, if you missed Dwell this weekend, the talks are going to be available online. And so we'll include in our show notes how to access those talks, because we'd love for you to hear more of the things that we're talking about and the great speakers that we've had here. So, Glenn, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Dwell's been really good, and we've had some good conversations here on the podcast, Amy. One with Bob and today with Glenn. So it's just been a really good time. Fellowship, we hope you've enjoyed these a little bit deeper conversations with our Dwell speakers. And we'll be back here in 2 weeks with another podcast for you guys. So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.